English Listening Comprehension Test, Intermediate Level, Valencian Community, June 2014. Now you will hear the instructions for the listening test. You will have time to read all the questions for all the tasks in the exam. At the beginning of each listening, you will hear this sound. You can make notes or write your answers while you're listening. But remember that you will also have time to write your answers at the end of each exercise. Please read the instructions for each exercise carefully. If you have any questions, ask them now, as you will not be able to talk during the listening test. Listen to an interview with the singer Lenny Kravitz. Choose the best answer, A, B or C, according to what you hear. There is only one correct answer for each statement. The first one is an example. Write the letters in the spaces provided in the box. You will hear the recording twice. You have 1.5 minutes to read the questions.
Lenny, it is 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to count us down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, if you're happy to.
Okay.
Here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, action.
Your latest album you've called Black and White America.
Mm.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm black and I'm white and I grew up in America.
What is it like being Lenny Kravitz?
What is it like being Lenny Kravitz? It's wonderful, with the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs. It's quite a trip.
How would you describe yourself in a sentence?
Wow, how would I describe myself in a sentence?
I'm going to remind you, Lenny, we are talking
Loving and intense.
What do you think you're like to spend time with, to hang out with?
I can either be really charming or extremely boring, depending on when you catch me.
What sort of upbringing did you have growing up in America?
I had a very rich upbringing. Meaning just culturally, and growing up between two different cultures and having all of that at my disposal.
Your father was Jewish?
Yes. Well, we had discussed that before the 5 minutes. We cheated for a couple of moments, but like you were saying, how people didn't want to say that you were really Jewish or you were really this. And I was taught to embrace both sides. So it was a wonderful upbringing. I got to get involved in everything.
Is it right that you grew up listening to lots of different types of music?
Yes. I grew up listening to classical, jazz, you know, funk, soul, rock, gospel.
Opera.
Folk. Opera, yeah. I sang opera as well. I was in the Metropolitan Opera Company for a couple of seasons, and it was great. I had this whole sort of classical career as a child between the ages of 11 and 14, 15.
Did you think you might actually end up being an operatic singer?
Being like a tenor? No. I was very fortunate to have that experience, and I definitely wouldn't be here today if I hadn't have had that. But I knew that I wanted to make other kinds of music, yeah.
How do you think?
But I used what I learned in that. Everything I learned about arranging and harmony and theory and, you know, is involved in what I do today.
Do you have a spiritual dimension to your life?
Most definitely. I grew up around very spiritually grounded people in my family, very positive thinking people. And, you know, my grandfather comes from a small island in the Bahamas called Inagua, and at 10 years of age, had to become the head of his family when his father passed. So he had four brothers and sisters and a mother he had to take care of. So this is the kind of people that I come from, and they worked very hard to make beautiful lives for themselves.
And you grew up knowing some big name singers.
Yeah, I was fortunate to grow up around people like Miles Davis and Duke Ellington and Sarah Vaughan and the likes of that.
What sort of music do you listen to relax now on your own?
Everything. I love, but I think if it's relaxing time, I Nina Simone, Miles Davis, Fela Kuti, some
do you
of
have
my favorites.
A musical hero, one, if you had to choose.
If I had to choose one, I'd have to say Michael Jackson as a child. As a child singer.
Do you have a favorite song ever?
A favorite song ever.
Could be one of yours, could be someone else's.
No, it's not one of mine. Favorite song ever. Maybe Never Can Say Goodbye.
By
the Jackson 5.
Sung by the Jackson 5?
Written by Clifton Davis, if I'm correct, who later became a big actor.
What sort of impact would you like your music to have?
I just want it to represent who I am. That's it. And that's what it does. So anything outside of that I can't control.
10 seconds to describe what it's like to sing.
What it's like to sing?
Yeah, just to sing.
Liberating.
And that, Lenny Kravitz.
My man.
Is 5 minutes.
Now, listen again.
Lenny, it is 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to count us down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, if you're happy to.
Okay.
Here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, action.
Your latest album you've called Black and White America.
Mm.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm black and I'm white and I grew up in America.
What is it like being Lenny Kravitz?
What is it like being Lenny Kravitz? It's wonderful. With the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs, it's quite a trip.
How would you describe yourself in a sentence?
Wow, how would I describe myself in a sentence?
I'm going to remind you, Lenny, we are talking
Loving and intense.
What do you think you'll like to spend time with, to hang out with?
I can either be really charming or extremely boring, depending on when you catch me.
What sort of upbringing did you have growing up in America?
I had a very rich upbringing. Meaning, not meaning money, meaning just culturally and growing up between two different cultures and having all of that at my disposal.
Your father was Jewish?
Yes.
Jewish?
Well, we had discussed that before the 5 minutes. We cheated for a couple of moments, but like you were saying, how people didn't want to say that you were really Jewish or you were really this. And I was taught to embrace both sides. So it was a wonderful upbringing. I got to get involved in everything.
Is it right that you grew up listening to lots of different types of music?
Yes. I grew up listening to classical, jazz, you know, funk, soul, rock, gospel.
Opera.
Folk. Opera, yeah. I sang opera as well. I was in the Metropolitan Opera Company for a couple of seasons, and it was great. I had this whole sort of classical career as a child between the ages of 11 and 14, 15.
Did you think you might actually end up being an operatic singer?
Being like a tenor? No. I was very fortunate to have that experience, and I definitely wouldn't be here today if I hadn't have had that. But I knew that I wanted to make other kinds of music, yeah.
How do you think?
But I use what I learned in that. Everything I learned about arranging and harmony and theory and, you know, is involved in what I do today.
Do you have a spiritual dimension to your life?
Most definitely. I grew up around very spiritually grounded people in my family, very positive thinking people. And, you know, my grandfather comes from a small island in the Bahamas called Inagua, and at 10 years of age, had to become the head of his family when his father passed. So he had four brothers and sisters and a mother he had to take care of. So this is the kind of people that I come from, and they worked very hard to make beautiful lives for themselves.
And you grew up knowing some big name singers.
Yeah, I was fortunate to grow up around people like Miles Davis and Duke Ellington and Sarah Vaughan and the likes of that.
What sort of music do you listen to relax now on your own?
Everything. I love, but I think if it's relaxing time, I Nina Simone, Miles Davis, Fela Kuti, some
do you
of
have
my favorites.
A musical hero, one, if you had to choose.
If I had to choose one, I'd have to say Michael Jackson as a child. As a child singer.
Do you have a favorite song ever?
A favorite song ever.
Could be one of yours, could be someone else's.
No, it's not one of mine. Favorite song ever. Maybe Never Can Say Goodbye.
By
the Jackson 5.
Sung by the Jackson 5?
Written by Clifton Davis, if I'm correct, who later became a big actor.
What sort of impact would you like your music to have?
I just wanted to represent who I am. That's it. And that's what it does. So anything outside of that, I can't control.
10 seconds to describe what it's like to sing.
What it's like to sing?
Yeah, just to sing.
Liberating.
And that, Lenny Kravitz.
My man.
Is 5 minutes.
Now, you have 2 minutes to check your answers. Please, look at the second exercise. Listen to a story about a girl called Katie and decide whether the statements are true or false. Write across in the right column. The first one is an example. You will hear the recording twice. You have 1.5 minutes to read the exercise.
Once upon a time, there was a girl called Katie. Katie was 7, and she lived in a nice house with her mum and dad and her little brother Joey and a dog called Muffin. And it was all quite normal, really, except for one thing. They were witches. Well, except for her dad, who was a wizard. Being a witch wasn't so bad. Mum would just twitch her nose and all the cleaning would get done. Dad would wave his stick and the lawn would cut itself. They'd even taught Katie some magic. She knew how to make her homework do itself, and her room got tidy just by twitching her ear. Once a year, all the children in her school and along her street would get terribly excited about Halloween. They made costumes of horrible-looking witches, with long pointy noses and spots and nasty black hats and broomsticks. And Katie said in school, "Witches aren't like that, really. My mum looks quite nice." And all the other girls fell about laughing. "Katie thinks she's a witch," they laughed. And when Katie went home that day, she was really upset. She cried and cried and cried, and when her mum asked her what the matter was, she said, "Everyone hates witches, and they especially hate them at Halloween. I don't ever want to have anything to do with witchcraft again." But on Halloween night, all the girls from her school were organising a trick-or-treat tour of the street, and Katie didn't want to go, but her mum said she had to. And she whispered something in Katie's ear. Katie went to join the other girls. "Katie doesn't have to dress up because she's already a witch." And Katie felt cross and embarrassed. At the first house, they got loads of sherbet lemons. At the second, a jumbo pack of sweeties. At the third, loads and loads of crisps. And at the fourth, a giant packet of chocolate biscuits. But at the fifth house, there lived a man called Mr. Bones. And Mr. Bones didn't like children.
"Buzz off, you stupid kids," he said when they knocked at the door.
"Trick or treat," cried the girls.
"I think I'll take the trick. Because you're just a bunch of stupid little girls, and you don't scare me."
"But one of us is a real witch," said Amelia, the biggest of the girls. Go on, Katie. Let's see if you really are a witch. Katie remembered what her mum had whispered in her ear. So right then, Katie recited the magic words. Suddenly, Mr. Bones wasn't Mr. Bones anymore. He was a little brown, fluffy hamster inside a cage, running around on a wheel. Katie leaned into the cage. Is it fun being a hamster? The little creature shook its head. And then she recited the magic words, and Mr. Bones was turned back into a man again.
I'll get you some treats, girls,
he said very quickly and nervously. And he came back with tons of chocolate bars, fizzy drinks, biscuits, and even a new Barbie DVD for each girl.
Please come back again next year, girls. I'll have even better stuff for you.
And he went back inside, looking very nervous. And as they went down the rest of the street, everyone had heard that there was a real witch out trick-or-treating that night. So they all gave the girls even more sweets and biscuits than usual, and even some toys.
Maybe it's not so bad being a witch after all. And I think I'm going to enjoy Halloween from now on.
Now, listen again.
Once upon a time, there was a girl called Katie. Katie was 7, and she lived in a nice house with her mum and dad and her little brother Joey and a dog called Muffin. And it was all quite normal, really, except for one thing. They were witches. Well, except for her dad, who was a wizard. Being a witch wasn't so bad. Mum would just twitch her nose and all the cleaning would get done. Dad would wave his stick and the lawn would cut itself. They'd even taught Katie some magic. She knew how to make her homework do itself, and her room got tidy just by twitching her ear. Once a year, all the children in her school and along her street would get terribly excited about Halloween. They made costumes of horrible-looking witches, with long pointy noses and spots and nasty black hats and broomsticks. And Katie said in school, "Witches aren't like that, really. My mum looks quite nice." And all the other girls fell about laughing. "Katie thinks she's a witch," they laughed. And when Katie went home that day, she was really upset. She cried and cried and cried. And when her mum asked her what the matter was, she said, "Everyone hates witches, and they especially hate them at Halloween. I don't ever want to have anything to do with witchcraft again." But on Halloween night, all the girls from her school were organising a trick-or-treat tour of the street. And Katie didn't want to go, but her mum said she had to. And she whispered something in Katie's ear. Katie went to join the other girls.
"Katie doesn't have to dress up because she's already a witch."
And Katie felt cross and embarrassed. At the first house, they got loads of sherbet lemons. At the second, a jumbo pack of sweeties. At the third, loads and loads of crisps. And at the fourth, a giant packet of chocolate biscuits. But at the fifth house, there lived a man called Mr. Bones. And Mr. Bones didn't like children.
"Buzz off, you stupid kids," he said when they knocked at the door.
"Trick or treat," cried the girls.
"I think I'll take the trick, because you're just a bunch of stupid little girls, and you don't scare me."
"But one of us is a real witch," said Amelia, the biggest of the girls.
"Go on, Katie. Let's see if you really are a witch.
Katie remembered what her mum had whispered in her ear. So right then, Katie recited the magic words. Suddenly, Mr. Bones wasn't Mr. Bones anymore. He was a little brown, fluffy hamster inside a cage, running around on a wheel. Katie leaned into the cage. Is it fun being a hamster? The little creature shook its head. And then she recited the magic words, and Mr. Bones was turned back into a man again.
I'll get you some treats, girls,
he said very quickly and nervously. And he came back with tons of chocolate bars, fizzy drinks, biscuits, and even a new Barbie DVD for each girl.
Please come back again next year, girls. I'll have even better stuff for you.
And he went back inside, looking very nervous. And as they went down the rest of the street, everyone had heard that there was a real witch out trick-or-treating that night. So they all gave the girls even more sweets and biscuits than usual, and even some toys.
Maybe it's not so bad being a witch after all. And I think I'm going to enjoy Halloween from now on.
Now you have 2 minutes to check your answers. Please, look at the third exercise. Listen to 5 forecasts for the UK and Ireland. Match each forecast with the day of the week. The first one is an example. There are 2 extra forecasts which do not match any day. You will hear the recording twice. You have 1.5 minutes to read the exercise. Example, Monday.
So, this Monday there will be heavy and widespread snow along much of the east coast of England, extending south for London area and extending up towards Birmingham. There will be rain elsewhere along the western and southern coasts. The temperatures will not be as bad as we were thinking initially, but still cold, still not pleasant. Very cold in the east, in fact.
Monday.
Looking at Monday, we see that it will be a very mixed day, starting off pretty nice with a lot of sunshine, and then from the west, rain will sweep through the country, leaving the east to be the last to get the rain by the end of the day. The temperatures will not be too bad. 9 to 11 for most of England will be the highest, up to 7 in Scotland, and up to 10 degrees in Ireland.
Wednesday.
Now, looking at Wednesday, we see that it will be almost a repetition from Tuesday. So, there will be light snow showers again possible for the northeast and into East Anglia as well on Wednesday.
Friday.
Looking at Friday then, it'll be a better day, but again with some clouds for most areas, particularly the eastern coast of England and the central and southern parts of England as well. The eastern areas of Ireland may get a little bit of drizzle and we'll still see partly cloudy skies as well for the western coast and the far north of Scotland.
Saturday.
So, Saturday will be a very bad day to be caught outside with heavy rain for most definite all of the country. The whole of the British Isles will be on the rain at least at some point. Perhaps some sun may break through throughout the afternoon in Scotland and in Ireland, but it won't be much of a consolation under the rain.
Sunday.
Looking at Sunday then, you see a lot of icons here with rain on the forecast, but that's not completely true. There's plenty of times where there will be sunny intervals, a lot of sunshine indeed turning into rain later on in the day. So, it will be a very mixed day really in terms of weather. The temperatures will be around average for late January, 7s, perhaps 8 or 9 in the far south, and 4s and 5s in Scotland.
Now, listen again. Example, Monday.
So, this Monday there will be heavy and widespread snow along much of the east coast of England, extending south for London area and extending up towards Birmingham. There will be rain elsewhere along the western and southern coasts. The temperatures will not be as bad as we were thinking initially, but still cold, still not pleasant. Very cold in the east, in fact.
Monday.
Looking at Monday, we see that it will be a very mixed day, starting off pretty nice with a lot of sunshine, and then from the west, rain will sweep through the country, leaving the east to be the last to get the rain by the end of the day. The temperatures will not be too bad. 9 to 11 for most of England will be the highest, up to 7 in Scotland, and up to 10 degrees in Ireland.
Wednesday.
Now, looking at Wednesday, we see that it will be almost a repetition from Tuesday. So, there will be light snow showers again possible for the northeast and into East Anglia as well on Wednesday.
Friday.
Looking at Friday then, it'll be a better day, but again with some clouds for most areas, particularly the eastern coast of England and the central and southern parts of England as well. The eastern areas of Ireland may get a little bit of drizzle and we'll still see partly cloudy skies as well for the western coast and the far north of Scotland.
Saturday.
So, Saturday will be a very bad day to be caught outside with heavy rain for most definite all of the country. The whole of the British Isles will be on the rain at least at some point. Perhaps some sun may break through throughout the afternoon in Scotland and in Ireland, but it won't be much of a consolation under the rain.
Sunday.
Looking at Sunday then, you see a lot of icons here with rain on the forecast, but that's not completely true. There's plenty of times where there will be sunny intervals, a lot of sunshine indeed turning into rain later on in the day. So it will be a very mixed day really in terms of weather. The temperatures will be around average for late January, 7s, perhaps 8 or 9 in the far south, and 4s and 5s in Scotland.
Now you have 2 minutes to check your answers. This is the end of the English Listening Comprehension Test, Intermediate Level, Valencian Community, June 2014.